This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The James Gattis Jewelers Holiday Code Words at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. Now, it's the 92.9 FM ESPN Holiday Code Word for your chance to win a $1,000 shopping spree at James Gattis Jewelers. Here's this hour's code word.
Enter necklace, N-E-C-K-L-A-C-E, enter necklace, N-E-C-K-L-A-C-E, at 92.9ESPN.com. Text necklace, N-E-C-L-A-C-E, to 7, or bigger part, to 92.9. Text it over at 92.9ESPN.com. Text it over at 92.9ESPN.com. There is a James Gattis link right there on the homepage. Text necklace right there. 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4. Make sure you're listening all this week for your chance to win a $1,000 shopping spree at James Gattis Jewelers. One last time, go to 99FMESPN.com and text necklace.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interviews. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Oh, it's Giving Tuesday. So I hope you take the opportunity to give. Church Health, they're matching everything on Giving Tuesday. If you want to give to Church Health, helps the uninsured and the underinsured in our community. There's one option, but there are plenty others out there. Today on the show, Chris Harrington is going to join us, as he does. Well, first, GP is going to join us. Let's get this in order. GP is going to join us next. That'll be at 9:25, 9:30 or so. Then Chris Harrington will join us, and then Jessica Benson will join us. So I'm thrilled about Tuesdays. That's my own little way that I give. Every Tuesday here is Giving Tuesday.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Yeah, because of what I'm able to bring to y'all on Tuesday. So that's the lineup. GP, Chris Harrington, Jessica Benson. We got a lot to talk about, but let's start by firing up the old fight song. Florida State's football coaching search, one that has left the Seminole Nation excited and exhausted, will continue for a few more days. Story from the Tallahassee Democrat. An announcement is not expected before this weekend, as the Seminoles are zeroing in on their candidate, according to a source with knowledge of the search. FSU's highly confidential search is entering its 55th week after the school fired Willie Taggart on November 3rd, 21 games into his tenure. Names linked to the vacancy include Iowa State's Matt Campbell, Memphis's Mike Norvell, and Penn State's James Franklin, among others. Norvell's Tigers playing in their third consecutive American Athletic Conference Championship game Saturday. Iowa State and Penn State are awaiting Sunday's bowl selection show. FSU fans are searching near and far for any signs that would indicate an announcement to introduce a new coach is near. Monday, the suspense was heightened as the field turf at Doak Campbell Stadium received a fresh coat of paint and an elevated stage and chairs were set up for an event in the Dunlap Champions Club in the South End Zone. FSU Athletic Department employees and Seminole Boosters, Inc. are also anticipating an announcement this week. So, I wonder what that could mean. I wonder what that could do. Let's see. Let me just think about this. So they mentioned three names: Matt Campbell,
yep,
at Iowa State,
mm-hmm,
James Franklin at Penn State,
yep,
and Mike Norvell at Memphis. Now, they also mentioned that the decision would not be made until this weekend. But they are setting up the stage and the chairs because they are zeroing in on their candidate. Now, let me ask you this. Does Penn State play this week?
They do not, Jeff.
So if you wanted to name James Franklin, it said they're awaiting the selection show. Does any lot of preparation involved for James Franklin in awaiting the selection show?
There's not a lot of prep. I think you have to sit down.
Okay, well, wait. Matt Campbell, are they playing this week?
They are not.
Are there a lot of? They're also awaiting the selection show?
Correct.
Is there a lot of preparation? He's less experienced because he'd only one head of coaching job. Would he need to do a lot of preparation for awaiting the selection show?
Again, my understanding is when you await a selection show, step one is go into your practice facility.
Uh-huh.
Step two is go into the film room with the giant TV and projectors.
Uh-huh.
And then step three is sit down.
So, okay, but then
step four is
there was a third coach on that list,
yes,
name of Mike Norvell. Now, does he have something going on this week that would keep him from accepting the job during this week?
And he has a conference championship game with tickets still available.
Oh, they have an important game Saturday.
Decently.
They have a decently important game Saturday, such that he's otherwise occupied, more so than, say, Matt Campbell or James Franklin?
That seems to be, if you're asking me whose schedule is more filled this week, I would think it's Mike Norvell's.
Yeah.
He has more pressing matters this week to attend
to. Listen, if you read my column today, I think you got a pretty good sense of what I believe is going to happen here. And that is, it appears likely, doesn't it? Don't you think the most likely scenario is Mike Norvell is the next coach at Florida State?
I think that is the case.
Yeah. So this has thrilled the fans at Florida State. Let's fire up the fight song once again. So you can capture the enthusiasm of this is now, mind you, Twitter is not representative, thank God for that, of the entire world, right?
Especially, may I add, FSU Twitter.
So, but here is the, I want to read you, because as you can imagine, as much as we like Mike Norvell, mm-hmm, and we do, you can imagine the enthusiasm.
It's their new coach, right?
He's a new coach.
You, yeah. Like,
they must be through. This is in response. Jim Henry from the Tallahassee Democrat wrote the piece that I read to you. He has tweeted it out. And here are the some of the responses,
mm-hmm,
to that story. Fire up the fight song to capture the. Ricky Bobby, this is getting embarrassing. Oren Fells, been embarrassing. Ben ran a great program into the ground. It's a shame. I hope we can bounce back ASAP, but the administration has me starting to worry. No faith in them whatsoever. Not sure why they ever thought doing this was smart with a lame duck president and an AD. This is beyond odd. Something has to give. I worry they are going to settle and hire someone like Norvell. We can't afford Willie Taggart 2.0. Another one. It wouldn't make any sense at all and would truly signify how far this once mighty program has fallen. Kind of heartbreaking. TD. So disappointed if it's Norvell. F blank CK. Carlos. Me too. Leonard, who we could have, even if we had kept, who we could have had, even if we kept Taggart through the end of the season, which would have helped keep the class together. Disaster. Thomas Johnson, if it's Norvell, everyone involved has S'd the bed. Hasn't coached a Power 5 team known for pace and great offense. What do you mean hasn't? Oh, hasn't coached a Power 5 team.
Dude. Yes.
Right. Wins as much as he loses. Isn't a proven head coach. I've seen that movie. Also, their defense gives up a ton of points. Let's see. Here we
so
go.
So does FSU's, by the way.
Here we go. Well, in fairness, they fired him. Most fans like me consider Norvell a Willie 2.0, expecting the hire to be a splash hire. Eddie, ugh, that probably means Norvell, not the splash we wanted. In the dugout, tries to be optimistic. Why believe any of this? Don't jump off the ledge yet, people. The process is designed to ensure we have no clue what's going on and it's working. Let the process play out and wait till a press conference to react. Basically, he's hoping it's not. He's saying, don't jump the gun. And he's not saying don't jump the gun and rip Norvell. Don't run. He's saying,
trust the process. It could wind up with someone other than Mike Norvell.
Exactly right.
For the record, by the way, Florida State averaged giving up 28.5 points per game. Memphis gave up 24.
Whew. Craig, this really sucks. Jeff Brohm would be a hell of a lot better than Norvell. Leonard. Oh, crap, it's Norvell. They're so enthusiastic about this. I hope not Norvell, a.k.a. Taggart 2.0. Troy's stoic. We'll be disappointed if it's Norvell, but we'll support him and the team. Jacob, I canceled my season tickets when they hired Taggart and sure as hell won't renew them for Norvell. Austin, are you freaking kidding me? Jacob, we're getting screwed again. Stan, hard to believe FSU paid buyout to hire someone like Norvell.
Another satisfied customer.
Oh, God. Oh, here we go. This guy's trading in scurrilous rumor. White Willie, he calls him. Okay. The Willie Taggart, but he's white. That's what the reference there is. With a gambling and drinking problems.
Ah.
Oh, nice.
By the way, White Willie definitely sounds like a Billy Idol song.
I thought it was going to be Bob Stoops. TD, I won't be upping my donations for that hire. Norvell isn't worth killing your recruiting class, which this will do again. Hire Norvell and my seats will not be renewed. It's just like one enthusiastic tweet after another. All they're doing is making themselves look like idiots. This is past embarrassing. AD with no credibility. Should have never fired Taggart. Toxic. There are, in fairness, some people mixed in. They're mostly Memphis fans. You guys keep talking ass about Norvell. Actually, please tag him with these so he sees the crap talk and decides FSU sucks and he backs out. You'll do Memphis a huge favor. Most of the nice people who are saying nice things about Norvell here are Memphis fans who've picked up on this Twitter string. So anyway, there you are. There's great enthusiasm for Mike Norvell at Florida State. All right, so... Jeffrey.
Yes, sir.
What do we think the chances are that Mike Norvell is going to Florida State?
Ooh, if you made me guess right now,
I can't say 100. It can't be 100.
Yeah, I would.
But 90? 80?
I was going to say 75, but I mean, to me.
It's so obvious.
When I say 75, it's 75%, and that is an overwhelming majority.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think it looks likely, ladies and gentlemen, that he is going to Florida State. Do you blame him if he does?
Absolutely not.
Do you think he'll be successful there?
I do.
You think it's a crappy roster now, though, right?
I do not think it's a great roster, but I also think that Mike Norvell is very good at a quick fix. I expect that transfer portal to be scrolled through pretty good.
In terms of, from the Memphis perspective, if this happens, I wrote a column today where I said Memphis fans should not worry about Mike Norvell. Some of you may have read that to mean they should not worry about Mike Norvell leaving. That's not what it said. If you read the column, indeed, it's pretty clear that I think he's going to Florida State. What the column said is you shouldn't let that ruin your week. Like, what's the point if you're Memphis? Why do you want a great coach? So you can have years like this and weeks like this, right?
Yes.
So you enjoy the week like this and the year like this. Like, you knew Derrick Rose was leaving at the end of his year as when he was guard for the University of Memphis, right?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
It seems like everyone else did.
Did you sit there and say, oh, my God, but Derrick Rose might leave after this game against Kansas?
No.
No. You enjoy the game against Kansas.
I just go, wow, watch him jump.
It's just that's the way it worked. He could have conceivably stayed, but you knew he wasn't going to. And did it ruin your enjoyment of the year? No, it did not. It didn't ruin my enjoyment of the year.
Jeff, it's just like always try the meatloaf or always try the pecan pie. Life is about expectations. That's a Jeff Calkins show staple.
But I guess there are some people who are still desperately trying to talk themselves into, here are the various arguments you hear, right? Well, what if Memphis gets a lot of money together? It's not about money. And B, they can't get as much money. Like, they just can't. They don't have as much money. But it's not about money. If it was about money, like, I don't believe he would go to Ole Miss. Ole Miss, what do you think was prepared to offer? What do you think Ole Miss was prepared to offer Mike Norvell?
5+.
That's a lot of money.
Yep.
And I don't think he was taking it. And I think he might take less to go to Florida State than he could have gotten from Ole Miss.
I agree.
It's about a chance to compete at the highest level. Florida State is one of the 20 best jobs in the country in terms of competing at the highest level. You can't do better. You can. I mean, USC is better. Don't you think USC is better? Marginally?
Yeah, I would say so.
But this is better. It's a better job than Virginia Tech.
Now, well, for sure.
Virginia Tech's on the right side of that ACC, but it's a better job than Virginia Tech because you got incredible recruiting. It's truly one of the great jobs out there. And so, other arguments people use are, well, what if Memphis becomes part of the Power Five? Like, what happens if they see that? There's no reasonable expectation that will happen anytime soon. None, zero, like none. What if it's like they look at Justin Fuente and Scott Frost and see the grief that they have taken and decide the grass is not always greener? What do you think of that argument?
I think that it is greener at Florida State.
And there's always, it is greener. Nebraska and Florida State, very different situations. And the pile of grass is always greener, is bigger at places like that.
In more ways than one.
Yes. So, listen, don't waste your time.
We're not talking about Bermuda grass.
Don't waste your time trying to talk yourself into this or any reasons that Mike should or whatever stay or that he's disloyal. I've had someone tell me if he's loyal, it's BS. No, he loves Memphis and whatever. He'd only leaving for a great job. It's the nature of the Memphis program. I wish it were not thus. And I think it's honestly, it should make you appreciate Penny even more. Like, you don't have to ever worry about him leaving. We leaving to retirement or leaving to the whatever, maybe, but Penny's not leaving because he's disgusted with the NCAA, but you don't have to worry about Penny. One of the great things about that coaching situation, and Memphis basketball is just different than Memphis football. You can win a national championship in Memphis in basketball. You can't in football, period, the end. And so so there you go. So we think he's leaving, and we think he's going to Florida State, and we think he'll be successful at Florida State. I do think, by the way, this if he leaves, what do you think about the whole, if they are lucky enough to beat or fortunate enough or good enough to beat Cincinnati this week?
Sure.
Although I say that so people don't think I'm jumping ahead.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Mike coaching the Cotton Bowl?
I always defer to, as long as there's not a conflict of interest, I always defer to, if the kids want him to coach, let him coach the game.
Okay, if you're Florida State, okay, here's my big caveat to this whole thing. Right now, if you look at various projections, you see Memphis in the Cotton Bowl against Florida.
Yeah, if that would be fall under my conflict of interest.
If Mike Norvell and if I'm Florida State, there is no way in the world that I want him coaching the Memphis Tigers against Florida in the Cotton Bowl. Because you would not – listen, I'm not saying Memphis couldn't beat Florida. I have no idea what's going to happen. But you would not want to run the risk of Florida beating your ass as the next Florida State coach. And let's be clear, they would try, right? They would try. They would want
to. If I know Dan like I think I do.
They would do everything they could possibly do to humiliate the next Florida State coach out of the box. And if I'm Mike, I wouldn't want to take that risk. And if I'm Florida State,
For the record, Dan was throwing up 40-17 in the fourth quarter on Saturday against Florida State. So that lets you know where his mindset is.
Right. So just in that circumstance, you just would simply not do it. Period. The end. You would not do it. And that would be too bad because then you're in the biggest game you've ever played in and you don't have the signal caller. I mean, that signal caller, you don't have the play caller. And that would be unfortunate. That's the way that college football is set up. Like, it would really be unfortunate. You had a skeletal staff coach the Paxton's last game, and it hurt you. There's no question about that. It hurt you. They got whacked by Auburn. So I got no problems with it in theory. I would if he had gone to Ole Miss, then Memphis would not have let him coach that game. But if you're going to Florida State, which is a huge compliment to the program, it really is, and no one could begrudge him going to Florida State, I'd let him coach. And if you're Mike, I'd take it into consideration.
I think he's also the play caller. So that's
what I'm saying. He's the play caller. It makes a huge difference. You take away their play calling, that's an incredible handicap going into. It's one of the things that Memphis does best, right?
Yes,
is the play calling, and so. I would want Mike to be the play caller. But I would not want to – listen, if against Florida, I wouldn't do it. If it's against Alabama, sure, why not, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Florida State's going to have more to say. I don't think this is an apples-to-apples comparison to Scott Frost because
– You think Florida State won't want it?
I think Florida State will want Mike Norvell to be the head coach of Florida State.
Period, the end.
Yep.
If you made me
speculate.
Okay. So then we are way ahead of ourselves. And listen, I'm the guy who wrote a column today saying don't worry about this if you're a Memphis fan. And by that, I mean don't worry about it in the sake don't let it ruin your day. Like, it's all good. I don't mean you can't think about it. Here we are spending our first segment of the radio show on it. And now I'm going to take this
probably the second, too.
And now I'm going to take this even a little bit further, and I'm going to ask you, Jeffrey, in the eventuality that Mike Norvell goes to Florida State, who do you want? Let's be honest. It is really hard to do what Memphis is fixing to do, as we say here in the South, to hire a third great coach. It is tricky to do that. Cincinnati, for example, they hired Brian Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Then they hired Butch.
Yep. That was the second time Butch followed him.
And whatever you think about Butch.
No, it worked there.
Successful at Cincinnati.
I for all the Butch then brick by big jokes.
Right. Then I think it was Tuberville. I think Tuberville came next, and that was a whiff.
Yeah, that was because that was when Tuberville, I think, went to Texas Tech, and then he hated the AD, and then the former Auburn AD was the AD at Cincinnati.
And what they decided there was, listen, let's not get an up-and-coming coach. Let's get a retread coach who's probably not – like, Tuberville's not going to get another bite at an Auburn, right? He just wasn't. So he could have actually, had he worked out, been the coach at Cincinnati for a long time. I get the risk there. But I don't think he had the energy to do it anymore. Now he's running for Senate, isn't he?
He is indeed. In the great state of Alabama.
So
you are correct. It went Mark D'Antoni, also, we forget him before Brian Kelly. Mark D'Antoni.
Is that the road? It was Mark D'Antoni.
Correct.
Brian Kelly.
Correct.
Butch.
Yep.
Then Tubbs.
Yep. And now back to Fickell.
And then Fickell. So they whiffed once.
Four to five ain't bad.
That is very good. Houston. Houston did.
Houston went with
Sumlin.
Sumlin, Herman.
Herman.
Applewhite.
Then they quote unquote whiffed with Applewhite. It's hard. It's difficult to do this. To get the third straight right is difficult. And so, listen.
We forgot. Art Briles, Sumlin.
Art Briles, Sumlin.
Correct. Then we forgot about the Tony Levine era.
Which was where? After Sumlin?
That was after Sumlin. And then it was Herman, yeah.
Yeah, you can't. It's very difficult to do this to get it right every time. I mean, look at Florida State. Florida State got it wrong. And that's Florida State.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that was the weird thing of that is that was basically their first real, in the modern college football era, that was their first real coaching search.
Because they had
Bowden, and then right. Jimbo was the Jimbo coach in waiting.
Right, yeah. So obviously the in-house candidate would be Ryan Silverfield.
Yes.
Ryan Silverfield is the lone coaching holdover from Mike Norvell's first days in Memphis. He's been there the entire time. He's the deputy head coach. He's the offensive line coach. He is the guy who recruits Nashville. Done a wonderful job of recruiting Nashville. He's a great recruiter, really smart guy, interesting guy, and is steeped in the program, and that represents continuity. And you might say continuity is bad, except for right now, if you look around, Ohio State seems to be working out okay.
Yep.
Clemson seems to be working out okay.
Yep.
Where
it worked
else?
At Oklahoma.
It's working at Oklahoma. Like, it's actually working. That's what they're doing in Washington. Peterson steps down yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and they're very clearly going in-house. So it's not what gets people fired up necessarily. Like, did Ryan Day, like, it was obvious, but it was like, but that's the in-house candidate, okay?
Yes.
Then the out-house candidates are.
We might want to work on the branding.
Yes, exactly. Might have to. No, I was gonna bring us to Hugh Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you'll be getting texts. People will be getting texts from Hugh soon. And
not from him.
From him,
but
from people who will. He would be getting involved in this, or would wish to get involved in this. You would think you like the guy at App State. Why would he take it? What's his name again? Drinkwitz.
Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah.
I think he is a very good offensive mind. He has a very good track record. If you look at NC State's fall off this year, I think it's directly related to the fact that he was at App State this year.
You get him? You think you could get him because of the money?
I think he could. I think the AAC has now – I think the AAC has played itself into this weird territory where – I think it's separated itself from the quote-unquote group of five, but it's still not a power five job. However – the money in the group of five is getting closer and closer to power five money, and I think that is a significant factor. He's making about 800 grand at App.
And he could make three at Memphis.
Yes.
That's more than triple.
Yeah. I think that would be the phone call. How would you like to triple your salary, Eli, with a ready-to-made win roster?
Of course, they would bump him at App State, so it wouldn't be it's probably double. You could double it, right? Who else? Chip Long?
I'm sure he's going to be considered.
We'll see at Notre Dame.
Will Healy at Charlotte, I'm sure, will be considered.
What's he got to recommend him?
He's, like, in general, like, he's a guy that he's young, he's offensive-minded. He's kind of like the hip young guy. Like, he's Norvellish. It's in the same mold.
Is it Norvellish or Norvellian? I think Norvellian rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah, but then it's like Orwellian, like
Machiavellian.
Yeah,
you think it's evil? Has an evil?
Hey,
tint
whoa!
You're all about Machiavelli.
No. I did write a
Machiavelli.
I wrote a term paper how the prince was entirely a satire on the family that hired him to write it.
We will take a break. We'll come back with GP. We'll talk to him about all of this.
Butch Jones.
And no,
you said who's the retread?
Well, I said off the air. I asked this question off the air because there are coaches like Jim McElwain, right?
Yep.
He's up somewhere in Michigan.
Yeah, I believe he's at Western.
Did a very nice job. And so does that model work? It very clearly worked for Duke. It's been working for Duke, right?
Oh, yeah.
It.
This is a pro David Cutcliffe section of the pie
who
of the
was
radio
the,
show.
Who was the who's the former?
Sorry, he's at Central.
Nebraska coach Solich. Where'd he go?
He's been at Ohio.
And hasn't he been successful?
He has built the only consistent. In my opinion, he's built the only consistent program in the MAC. All the rest kind of go up and down, up and down. He's
again,
consistent.
There's another model for, like, retreads are incredibly uninspirational, but they actually might stay, right? Guys who, like, aren't young and hot enough to be on the upward deal, right? And so they might stay, and they might be good. You want someone who was good at this. And so that's another possibility. On the other hand, there's lots of times it doesn't work out. Like, it's not right now working out for someone, for example, right?
That is correct.
Soft landing people who are looking for soft landings or have been booted out. I want no part of Butch Jones. You know why? Because I don't think he's very smart. Truth of the matter is, if you spend any time talking to Justin Fuente and any time talking to Mike Norvell, you knew they were good. That's why I have a hard time recommending coaches based on resume without talking to them. Because resume says one thing, but if you sit down and talk to them and you get an idea of their energy and their vision and their level of attention to detail and whatever, I think you should be able to come away with some sense of how good they are. And honestly, Larry Porter's another one. I just wouldn't have – I sort of wrote a dopey column saying of the two choices, the other one was Jim – what was his name? Is the defensive backs coach at the Titans. They were down to two, and they were both bad hires. So in fairness to me, neither one was going to be a great hire. But Larry Porter, if you spend any time with Larry Porter, you should know he shouldn't be a head coach. He'd be a great coordinator. I mean, great position coach, recruiter,
I had former teammates of his that were friends of his that said –
Yeah, just not – he's not – I mean, just like whatever.
Before
he
was hired.
You know, I shouldn't also be a head coach. I shouldn't be running a radio station. You can get me to talk on the radio, but I couldn't have Brad's job. I just don't have a skill set for it.
Yeah,
right?
But you're a great play caller. Come on.
Some of this is, I do believe it's about getting a sense of who's really smart and who's really not. And having been around Butch, I'm not hiring Butch. I'd honestly rather hire Hugh Freeze than Butch. Who would you rather hire? Those two.
Butch. I think he's a better program manager.
We'll be back. We'll talk to GP about all of this and a little college basketball as well. It's Jeff Calkins Show on Giving Tuesday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I know I talk about Bounty all the time, but this one is special because the event is special. On December 8th, in honor of Bounty's fifth birthday, two spectacular chefs are coming together to serve a five-course meal with all proceeds going to Caritas Community and Cafe. Chef Russell Casey of Bounty and Chef Spencer McMillan of Caritas will be collaborating on the five-course dinner. And isn't it just like Bounty to celebrate its birthday by giving back to the community? For those who don't know, Caritas Community and Cafe is in the heart of Binghamton. It's uniquely Memphis place that uses food, art, music, theater, and classes to bring people together. You could stop by the cafe for a cup of coffee or for lunch, but don't miss this special event. Again, it's at Bounty on December 8th. Seatings begin at 6:30 p.m. The food will be spectacular. To reserve your spot, call 410-8131 or go to their website at bountyonbroad.com. And remember, Bounty is the perfect place for a holiday party or to get a gift card.
Did you know nearly 40% of men under 40 and over 75% of men over the age of 40 experience sexual performance concerns? At the Memphis Men's Clinic, their experienced physician performs a comprehensive evaluation that determines which specific issues may interfere with your sexual performance. These issues can vary and range from anxiety to medical issues, low testosterone, or erectile dysfunction. The Memphis Men's Clinic has evaluated hundreds of men of all ages over the years and reestablished a normal sexual life. The Memphis Men's Clinic will work aggressively to resolve issues and allow you to restore your sexual health and overall well-being. That's the Memphis way. If you're 20 years old or 90 years old, come and get cared for the Memphis way. Treatment that's based on your specific needs after a professional clinical evaluation by their experienced board-certified physician. Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today at 901-443-0475 or visit memphismensclinic.com.
Fast, reliable internet. It's important to your business. At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, solutions like automatic 4G LTE backup for more complete reliability.
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected. And bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees. I'm not even done yet. Comcast Business has advanced voice solutions at affordable prices and cloud-based security for all your devices.
And that great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 12/22/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public. So we decided to sing about it.
Get ultra strong for your South Pole. Charmin keeps your undies whiter than the North Pole. A shiny, hiney, a brand new year. Call it a Charmin. Happy New Year.
Charmin Ultra Strong just cleans better. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this magic music, which will inspire the perfect hire to begin clog dancing. Okay, there's no magic music, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little did I just win $50 fun.
Woo, yeah!
Or when you like to add a side of fun to that next snack.
Wow, that's good.
Would you like some fun with that?
Well, yeah.
Then play the Tennessee Lottery. And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
Happy holidays, honey.
Ooh, what is it?
Just open it.
Is it a holiday luck instant game?
I don't know.
It sounds like, is that a $20,000 holiday cheer game? Hold up, you didn't. No, do I hear a Merry Money and a holiday gifts instant game? All instant games.
Do you love it?
Best presents ever.
Make every gift a little brighter with holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing holidays celebrating fun. Please play responsibly.
The cold is here, and Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool wants to help you stay warm and cozy. Gas logs by Real Fire for indoor or outdoor fireplaces to keep you warm by the fire. Hot tubs by Caldera Spas to relax and soothe all of your troubles away after a long day. Don't forget about the kids this holiday season. Outdoor Living by Memphis Pool has trampolines, play sets, and basketball goals. Come visit their showroom at 468 West Highway 72 in Collierville or online at OutdoorLivingMemphis.com.
And what to our wondering eyes should appear but giant James Wiseman and teammates to fear. With recruits spread all over, so spunky and many, I knew in that moment it must be Coach Penny. More hype than the others, the smoke he would flame. And he whistled and shouted and called them my name. Now Wiseman, now Ball, now Jeffries and Ellis.
92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
To the bright side of the road. With a lover once again. To the bright side of the road.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary's host of the Gary Parrish Show. 4 until 6 every single day. He's national college basketball columnist for CBSSports.com. Emmy-winning television personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, and he joins me now. GP, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What do you make of the fact? A couple things. First of all, I'm getting some blowback from Memphis fans on Twitter who want me to...
Don't talk to me about that.
Who want me to... And I'm not even saying they're stupid here. I'm just saying they don't want me to talk about Mike Norvell going to Florida State because it ruins their joy. And I should put my fingers in my ears and pretend this isn't happening.
It's probably the same people who told me I should stop saying that Memphis was crazy to...
We're not bringing that up on this show.
It's probably the exact same people.
We're not bringing this up. Stop it.
Fake news.
Should I not should I not talk about Mike Norvell possibly?
Here's what you should do. Let me give you some advice. Don't take advice from Twitter. You're a radio host and an accomplished columnist. You don't need to take advice from people on Twitter with fake screen names.
You're so smart. You're so effing smart.
It does. You got to admit, the timing does stink, right? The way that it's inevitable, but it does stink. It absolutely does. Do you have this in college basketball? What's the situation?
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course you do. Yes. I mean, you don't, when Buffalo is doing well under Nate Oates, you know that with every win, there's a chance. The chance increases that you're going to be looking for a new coach at the end of this year.
Does it happen, though? It's not actually – I guess it's because the NCAA tournament is so fast. You become Nate Oates in the public spotlight in like a week, right? Like Mike Norvell has been hot coach for 2 years, whereas you become Nate Oates hot Buffalo coach in a week, and then in a week later the NCAA tournament's gone and then the interviews start. Like, and there's also no, at that point, recruiting isn't like, that's not the key time for recruiting, so people can't actually wait for Buffalo to lose before they interview him, right?
Sure. In fact, that's the way it normally works. I mean, Nate Oates' agent will be in contact with Alabama at the time, but Nate is probably just focused on his team, and you know, it does happen quickly. That's accurate. I would say Memphis fans have gone through this before, different a little, but with John Calipari. I mean, it was every year. Like, if he wins too big this year, is he off to somewhere else, you know, next season? It's sort of just life outside of the power structure. Where you don't get this is in professional sports. Like, if you, your favorite NFL team is...
Oh, my Bills. My Bills are hot right now. That's not a great job, but I'm not worried about him getting a job. I'm not worried about the Cowboys hiring him during the offseason, you know?
Right. Right. You don't, like, yeah, and same thing with the NBA, same thing with Major League Baseball. You're not normally, you don't really have to spend much time thinking about, if we win too big, is he going to take a better job in the AL East? It's just not the way that those sports work. And it is very much the way it works in, especially college football, because in college basketball, you can win outside, you can accomplish anything you want to accomplish outside of the Power Five. Villanova has won 2 championships in recent years outside of the Power Five. Memphis just enrolled the number one recruiting class in the country outside of the Power Five. You cannot enroll the number one recruiting class in the country outside of the Power Five in college football. You can't win a national championship. Like, it's literally impossible in college football outside of the Power Five. And so when I hear people talk about, well, what about Mark Few? You know, this is just a different deal altogether. If Mike's dreams are to make $1 billion and have an actual, like, chance to win a national championship, those are things he simply cannot do at the University of Memphis. They are things he can actually do at Florida State.
Okay. So we think we're allowed to talk about it. Actually, I made this analogy. It is interesting to me because I think people don't think of it the same, but I actually think it's exactly the same, is when you knew that Memphis was going to lose Derrick Rose after the Final Four was over, even though he could come back. Like, Derrick Rose could have come back. There was no rule that was making him go to the NBA. You just acknowledged reality. And did it ruin your enjoyment of the Final Four? No, it did not ruin you. I'll tell you what did. Mario Chalmers ruined your enjoyment of the Final Four. But it did not ruin your enjoyment of the Final Four. And this shouldn't ruin your enjoyment of this weekend. Mike is, it seems to me, likely not coming back. Although, just like Derrick Rose, there's always a chance, I suppose. But it go ahead and enjoy it anyway. Like, to me, and I understand it is different, it is weird. People expect this sort of loyalty from a coach, and then they turn around, and you look at what happens, and you are Barry Odom. You are a proud graduate of Mizzou. You happen to go 500, and you're whacked. You're Matt Luke. Your player urinates on the field in a pretend fashion. You are a proud graduate of the school. You are whacked. Truth of the matter is, in the first half against Cincinnati, people on Twitter were ripping Mike Norvell. Like, I do believe in loyalty and stuff, but I think you've got to take your opportunity when you have your opportunity and be prudent about it. And if Mike, I honestly don't think many people would begrudge him going to Florida State. Almost nobody.
You know, I talked to a coach one time who was going through something similar, and he said that he was getting hit with the loyalty thing. And he was like, you know what? I should tell my AD, give me a lifetime contract worth X amount of dollars, not just in you know, on paper, but I'm literally going to be able to coach this basketball team until I die. That's loyalty. That means you'll never leave me, and then I can promise to never leave you. But anything short of that doesn't exist. Like, it's not loyalty. Mike Norvell, you know, if he had five straight losing seasons at Memphis, he would be fired. People would forget about what just happened. And so not only would I never begrudge him or criticize him for taking a job like Florida State. I mean, Jesus, that doesn't even make any sense. I wouldn't blame him for taking any job he wants to take. Ultimately, that's what this is. Just because I care about, and I should say, I think Mike does truly
care about
the university.
I
think he cares.
Yeah.
And I think he cares about the city, and I think I talked about this before. There are coaches who operate outside of the Power Five who are constantly coaching for their next job. I don't know that he's doing that, but the situation has presented itself. And, you know, I wouldn't blame him for taking – if he wanted to go be the Ole Miss coach, I would yell hotty-totty and say, go win. Like, it wouldn't, I want Mike to do whatever best for Mike and his family, and that is what I always wish for every coach. Just because they have very public jobs don't mean that they're not still jobs. It's a career. Do what you want to do that makes you happy and your family happy. And if that's got Mike coaching at Memphis forever, man, that's tremendous because I can take my kids to the game and watch them score 45 points with Brady White. But if it's coaching at Florida State or Ole Miss or literally anywhere else, if that's what he wants to do and that's what he thinks is best for him, I support him 100%. And that's a view that I hold across the board when it comes to college coaching, any sport, any coach.
Now you're being depressingly rational. I don't share that view. So the other Twitter action that we're seeing today is from so Memphis fans. There are some, not all, just a few, think I'm draining the joy by discussing the news developments of the day, which is that literally at Florida State they have the stage set up and the chairs set up now. So and they're zeroing in on their man who won't be available until this weekend, huh? Anyway, so but then you have Florida State fans who are oh my God, I'm never going to get my season tickets. What a freaking debacle! This is a disaster. I can't believe we're hiring Willie Taggart, White Willie. They're calling him White Willie Taggart, and that also seems to me to be totally irrational. And what happens here is what we're seeing, like when people think they're going to, and I suppose this happens in basketball too, right? People think, okay, we fired our coach, we're going to hire Nick Saban. That's what Texas thought, right? We fired our coach, we're going to hire Nick Saban. And then all of a sudden you trot out Charlie Strong, right? And you're like, whoa, this is not what I planned for. And Florida State, when they fired their coach, it was Bob Stoops, James Franklin, right? It was like those guys. And you very rarely get those guys. And if you get those guys, honestly, maybe they'd turn out to be Chip at UCLA, right? Maybe that's what happens. If you get that guy, there's no guarantee that guy is that guy, but you so often don't get that guy. Everybody thinks they're going to get the best coach in the world next. Very seldom happens.
I've said for a while now, when a job opens, college basketball, college football, take the top three candidates that the fans are excited about and just put it line through their names. You're not getting those people, almost ever. I remember the Tennessee search one time, Tennessee basketball, and I can't remember if it was after Bruce or after Konzo, but the Knoxville was sitting over and like, and here's a list of the top five candidates. It was like Brad Stevens, Shaka Smart, and I remember talking to somebody in the administration there, and I was like, they were like, well, we're not going to respond to erroneous reports. I said, you need to talk to your beat writer. Because your beat writer is setting the expectations for your fans. And now your fans are debating on a message board whether they'd rather have Shaka Smart or Brad Stevens. And you're not getting either one of them. So it doesn't matter who you hire. Even if he's great, once he's not Brad Stevens or Shaka Smart, your fans are going to be disappointed. And this happens, again, in most college coaching searches. So I'm sure when the Florida State job opened, they thought they were getting, they thought they were getting Bob Stoops, right? In that most football reporters, notable ones at least, just sort of poo-pooed on that from the jump. Like, you're not getting Bob Stoops. Like, you're getting somebody like Mike Norvell, probably. And so this weekend, you know, Sunday, Monday, I mean, it could break at any time, but I would assume that, you know, there will be a report citing sources that Mike Norvell is going to be the next head coach of Florida State. And some Florida State fans will be disappointed in that. I would tell those people, you're out of your mind. Like, if I were running the Florida State search, Mike would be the person I would hire. Almost above anybody. Certainly he's the person I would hire over any other attainable candidate. Right. I think he's a star. I think he's going to be great there, just like he's been great at Memphis. But I do think, and I know it's hard to remind ourselves of this because Twitter feels like it's everything. It's such a small sample size of what people really think. You know, like, I think sometimes you can go on Twitter and go, Florida State fans hate Mike Norvell. And you go, okay, count it up. And it's 30 people. It's 30 people who hate Mike Norvell.
The other thing you really find, I think this is true, is almost invariably, even if they quote-unquote hate it at the outset, within a day they talk themselves into it. Now, there are some examples. I'm not sure that Tennessee would have ever talked themselves into, what's his name, the new Rutgers coach?
Greg Schiano,
right? And honestly, I never sensed much enthusiasm for Tubby. Like, people had a hard time. There was a group that believed in Tubby, but, like, I think we had a hard time talking ourselves into Tubby because the press conference was such a bummer. But basically, like, I didn't know anything about Justin Fuente, and then I came away, and I'm like, okay, Justin Fuente. I didn't know anything about Mike Norvell, and I came away like, okay, Mike Norvell. Like, you usually come away, and fans certainly do, from the opening press conference saying, okay, I'm down with that. And I think by the time they hear Mike Norvell, if it's Mike Norvell, talk in the end zone on whenever it happens, Sunday, I think they'll be enthusiastic. Yes?
Let him go get, you know, 2 5-star recruits inside of a month, and it's I really do, and I was saying this last year when some of these big jobs opened, and he, you know, didn't get any of them. I was like I don't see what other people don't see. He recruits above the level at which Memphis usually recruits. He wins undeniably at a unprecedented level at Memphis. He's great in the community. He's great with the media. He's a likable guy. Like some coaches, really successful ones, check some of these boxes. Like, they're really great recruiters and great coaches, but not good with the fans, not good with the media. They're really great with the media, but, man, they're not great coaches. I really do think he checks every box. And I know there's somebody out there right now about to tweet me about red flags. I don't care about any of what you perceive as red flags. I'll focus on the body of work. The guy has been a Division I head football coach for 4 years, and he has been awesome. There have been zero missteps, and he's done his job in an A-plus way, in every way that you judge such things. And I heard you talking earlier about, I guess it was some Florida State fan talking about gambling problem and drinking problem. I personally take great offense to that. The idea that you can't be successful with a gambling problem and a drinking problem is not something I subscribe to. And so I don't know that Mike has either of those things. But even if he did, I'd hire him anyway.
Oh, man. And then Memphis will have to find a new coach, and we'll be talking about that. I did want to touch briefly on college basketball. It actually is one of the great things about Penny Hardaway. Like, there was a great excitement, and the person who was number one on the list when Memphis wanted to hire Penny Hardaway was Penny Hardaway, and they hired him. And now he's winning games, and you don't have to worry about him going anywhere else. Like, it is one of the gifts of Penny Hardaway, isn't it?
I don't want to ruin it for you, but don't forget that the NBA exists.
He's not going to the NBA.
I don't need this. I don't need the smoke. So I don't think he's going to the NBA either. But if you were worried
is the skill set of that Penny brings, the skill set, well, he would say it is because he's a basketball mind and whatever else and whatnot. But let's be honest. Like, part of what he's great at is whipping up enthusiasm in Memphis, Tennessee, and recruiting. And neither of those things matter in the NBA, just like they didn't matter for John Calipari in the NBA.
Let me be very clear. I do not think Penny Hardaway is going to leave Memphis to be an NBA coach. I do think that if he smashed it at Memphis and obtained a reputation of a basketball coach that matches his reputation of a incredible recruiter, that he would be on some NBA franchise's radar. Like, he is a former player who is likable, who seems to be good with people. I'm just saying, like,
Gary is saying is that Orlando is going to hire Penny Hardaway to be their next best coach, according to GP.
I do not
put that
believe
on Twitter.
Here's what I was trying to say, honestly. Let's hit stop and restart, okay? Here's what I'm actually trying to say. I don't think you have to worry about losing him to another college job. Like, if John Calipari retired, I don't think Penny Hardaway's going to Kentucky. I don't think he'd leave the University of Memphis for another college job. I do think if he ever left, it would be for an NBA job, and yet I still think that is unlikely. That's what I actually believe.
What the hell is happening in college basketball, GP? And explain Michigan to me.
I mean, it's a very much a Penny Hardaway story, minus the recruiting class, right? I mean, Juwan Howard gets the job at his alma mater and inherits a good situation, but not a top five situation. I mean, Michigan lost its top three scorers from last season's team, all early to the NBA draft. That's a program that could have theoretically returned every single player from a 30-win team, and yet they lose three players and their head coach. And John Beilein is known as one of the best coaches in college basketball. So when you lose your top three scorers and one of the best coaches in the country, you're going to start the season unranked, regardless of who you replace them with, but especially when you replace them with somebody who's literally never been a head coach at any level of basketball. And yet they go to the battle for Atlantis and they beat Iowa State. And that's like, whatever, it's an unranked team. It doesn't really register. But then they beat North Carolina bad, and then they beat Gonzaga bad. And now they're sitting here undefeated, ranked fourth in the country. It is tied with a former Kansas team as the biggest jump in AP poll history from unranked to number four. And so what's wild is that tonight was always supposed to have a top five matchup in college basketball. As recently as two Mondays ago, so like last Monday morning, it was supposed to be number one Duke against number three Michigan State. But then Duke goes out and loses to Stephen F. Austin as a 28-point favorite. Michigan State loses to Virginia Tech, which was picked 14th in the preseason ACC poll. In the meantime, Louisville remains undefeated, and Michigan does what I just explained it did. And so now you've got number one Louisville against number four Michigan. It's supposed to be the undercard tonight on ESPN leading into the high-profile Duke-Michigan State game. And I guess for some people it still is, but if you're interested in watching the top five matchup in college basketball tonight, it's going to happen at Louisville. And you can't really say enough about what Chris Mack's done there. I mean, that guy takes over a program where they had to fire Rick Pitino. They missed out on a recruiting class. They've got sanctions on the way. And yet, you know, as of December 3rd, 2019, he's got the undefeated number one team in the country. So, you know,
now, he was at the top of their list, wasn't he? He was the fans wanted him. Like, that's a situation where they got the guy they wanted.
Yeah. But like, Louisville's a top 10 job in America.
Right.
You know, you can do that there. Louisville is one of, you know, when we talk about the great jobs in basketball, Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Ohio State, you know, Louisville's going to be on that list. Kentucky, obviously. Louisville's going to be on that list somewhere. So, yes, they basically targeted Chris from the jump, and they were able to get that done. That was a well-done and well-executed coaching search.
GP, thanks very much. I'll talk to you at 5 o'clock. Appreciate it.
I'll see you. Bye-bye.
That is Gary Parrish. Chris Harrington coming up next. After that, Jessica Benson will join us on the radio show. It's Jeff Cockinger, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I know what you're thinking. This guy's bald. And you're right, I am. How I'd love to walk into a Supercuts. They use their expert training to suggest a perfect cut. Sadly, though, the only suggestion I need is what clipper number to use on the back of my head. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey, listeners, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. We'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Give us a call today at 388-0852 or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com, and we can help keep all the pests except Cousin Eddie out of your holiday plans.
Guess what?
What?
Xfinity Internet. Internet's better because it streams better. Introducing Xfinity Flex, a personalized streaming dashboard that puts all your favorites in one place, so they're not scattered across a bunch of apps.
Nice.
Plus, it has over 10,000 free shows and movies.
Even nicer.
And it's all searchable with the Xfinity voice remote, so you can search less and watch more. It's not just easy.
It's effortless.
And it gets better.
No.
Yes, because it's not expensive. It's included with Xfinity Internet for no additional cost.
Wow.
You can say that again.
Wow.
Get internet that internet's better. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. And add a Flex 4K streaming device on us. Go to Xfinity.com/Flex, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Hi, I'm Archie, a service tech at Pep Boys. You know, with holiday travel and changing weather, who knows what the roads will be like. Be sure to have your tires checked by one of our pros today.
Now through December 31st, get up to...
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.